We are so blessed here at Rhema Bible Church. Hallelujah. What do you mean by that? We're so blessed that Pastor Rob and I don't have to lead praise and worship. That's all I can say. Now, we could. We've done it in the past. But we don't have to do it here because we're more blessed. I heard somebody say this one time, and I don't know who it was, but I've always tried to put it into practice. Always defer to the greater gift. And we have some gifted people around here. Amen. Gifted musicians, gifted singers, gifted ushers, gifted camera operators, just gifted everybody. Amen. And we're so thankful for it. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to do a little bit of review of a sermon that I preached on a Sunday night and pick up there and go as far as we can tonight and just see where we end up with it and believe God together. But the title of the sermon is The Efficacy of the Blood of Jesus. There's still power in the blood. I had three opening scriptures I'd like to turn to them tonight. Hebrews chapter 9. There's so much in here, and there's so many scriptures that we could read, and a big sections of scripture, especially here in Hebrews. But I want to read Hebrews chapter 9. Let's start and read verses 11 through 14 to start off tonight. Now, I'm reading from the King James Bible. I may take a few of these and thous out as I go along, but just bear with us here. All right? Verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What kind? Eternal. Glory to God. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, everybody say much more, much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Go over in chapter 10. And let's pick up in verse 19. And as I said again, sometime there'd be good just to read this whole section, chapter 9, chapter 10, and of course, chapter 11, we probably spent some time in, but and then all the way through this, talking about the power and the effect of the blood of Christ. But here in verse 19, it said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What's that? No questions. No questions. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. I think sometimes, you know, we question things sometimes because we forget the price that's been paid. And the power and the effect of the blood that's been shed. He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then our other foundational verse is in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What do we mean by efficacy? The efficacy of the blood of Jesus is the unchanging power of Christ's blood to accomplish everything that God intended through his death, burial, and resurrection. What does that mean? It did it, and it still does it today. The blood does not merely remind us of redemption, it secures it. It is not merely symbolizing forgiveness, it accomplishes it. It does not merely represent victory, it guarantees it. Hallelujah. When we speak of the efficacy of the blood, we're talking about this simple truth. The blood of Jesus works. It has never lost its power. It accomplished redemption at Calvary, continues to accomplish God's purpose in every believer who puts their faith in Christ. And so we said that the blood of Jesus was not merely the means by which we entered salvation, it's the foundation upon which we live every day, that blood. If we remove the blood, how many of you know there's no redemption? Remove that blood, there's no forgiveness. Remove the blood, there's no covenant. Remove the blood, there's no access to God. But thank God, His blood, the blood of Jesus, is eternally effective. So we said this, the blood was God's plan from the very beginning. We saw, we looked in Genesis chapter 3, where God clothed man with the skins of the animals that He sacrificed. Instead of requiring the blood of mankind, throughout the Old Testament, we see it in the Passover lamb, that they put the blood on the doorposts, and when the destroying angel came and saw the blood, he passed over them. Hallelujah. But today, just as they think about this, the only thing that separated them from the judgment that came, that final judgment there in Egypt, the death of the firstborn, the only thing that separated them from that was the blood of those animals. All right? And then we just read in the New Testament that Jesus' blood is much more effective. Nothing today separates us or redeems us from judgment except the blood of Jesus. We said this, that every Old Testament sacrifice pointed us to Jesus. The blood of animals could not remove sin. It could only cover it. It could only wash on the outside. But how many of you know it left mankind still sinners on the inside? That blood couldn't touch what had happened on the inside. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. Those sacrifices, however, were reminders that mankind needed a Savior. Remember what John said concerning Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? Takes away the sin of the world. This blood was different. This was righteous blood. This was the blood of the God-man. He became man so that he could have blood to shed that was holy and righteous. This blood of Jesus purchased for us eternal redemption. Not temporary, not seasonal, not yearly, eternal. How many know the blood works all the time? It redeems us all the time. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, that redemption is really manifold, but from sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and eternal death, we've been redeemed. The price has been paid. To redeem means to buy, to purchase, out of one condition into, really, God has purchased us back into the original plan that He had for us. This eternal redemption means the work never has to be repeated. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus did not purchase a temporary relationship with God for us. He purchased one that is supposed to be eternal. Amen? You know, in Romans 8, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. There's no one, none of you can separate me from the love of God. But how many of you know I could separate myself from that love? But that's not God's plan. God's plan is we stay eternally redeemed, eternally purchased. Glory to God. Amen? And so that means this. Listen, if you do mess up, if you don't walk in love at that time, or you do mess up, go to God. Don't run from Him. The blood's been poured out for you. His blood still speaks. We'll get to that one. We said this, that the blood cleanses our conscience from dead works. We're no longer who we used to be. We don't have to have a sin consciousness. You know, I've met a lot of Christians that still think God is dealing with them concerning their past sinful life. Amen. I know in the area, it seems like of receiving the blessings, walking victorious in life, you know, things such as healing, the provision of God. People going to heaven, they kind of accept that, you know, especially in our day. It's been preached long enough. You know, there was a time that when a preacher was so bold to say that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son meant that God loves sinners. Do you know they were chastised and persecuted for preaching that? How could God love sinners? Well, Paul said, you know, that he was the chief of all sinners. I don't think we need to rank ourselves necessarily, you know, but if he was the chief and the blood was shed for him, how do you know the blood was shed for you? Amen? There's no ranking in it, but this blood should cleanse us. We should not have a sin consciousness. we should have a righteousness in God consciousness because of the blood. I'm not righteous because of me. I'm righteous because of Him. His holy, righteous blood purchased our redemption, purchased our salvation. Hallelujah. We're cleansed. Our conscience, we're not just talking about heaven. We should live a forgiven life. And we should live a free life. You know, the devil loves to keep reminding us of our failures. And, you know, every time he does that, just remind him of the blood. Just take him back to the blood. He can't fight it. Why? It's already been shed. It doesn't have to be shed. It's already been shed. Glory to God. Jesus already paid the price. You know, most of us would stand up and say, you know, if we'd already paid for something and they tried to make us pay for it again, most of us would say, well, wait a minute here. I already paid for this. But sometimes we just let the devil do that to us. Amen. Well, you know, you're dealing with that now because of this past thing that you did. And, you know, if you've got things in your past that are bothering you, you need to go to God with it. Amen. Go to Him. Don't entertain the devil. Don't entertain condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The blood gives us bold access into God's presence. We're told to come boldly because of that, of the blood of Jesus. We can enter into the holiest. Now, not the holiest that was built here on earth, but we're talking about entering into the very throne room of God, into the holy place of God. There's indication that mankind's sin affected heaven itself and the Holy of Holies, but the blood of Jesus has totally cleansed it. Amen. That's why, listen, there's no evidence of your sin in heaven. None. None. No evidence. No evidence. And God has said, I will not remember. Glory to God. He doesn't remember. You know, it's not because we're so spiritual. Not because we've prayed enough. Not because we fasted. But it's by the blood. Our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Think about it. You know, what if someone gave you access, permanent access, to go to the White House anytime you wanted? You didn't have to. I mean, you had credentials. Think about this. You don't go in because of who you are. You go in because someone in authority gave you access. The greatest authority of the universe, God Himself, by the shed blood of His own Son, gave us credentials to enter into the very throne room of God. Thank God for the blood. We have access. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12. This blood is still speaking. It's active. It's still telling of redemption. It's still telling us and telling the devil and telling anybody that would ask. How many remember that Abel, his brother Cain, killed him? I guess, you know, I heard a guy talking about, you know, you wonder why evil things happen. I mean, four people in, you had a murder. Sin makes mankind evil. Amen. Rebellion against God makes mankind evil. And so Cain killed his brother. But concerning Jesus, it says here in verse 24, Hebrews 12, 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, Abel's blood kind of cried out for justice. God came down and told Cain, where's your brother? Cain, you know, kind of got smart with God. You know what I mean by that? Didn't mean he was smart. He got sassy. Do you know what that means? He mouthed off to God. What, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. Didn't take long for people to start lying, did it? Why? Because now they're of their father, the devil, and he's a liar from the beginning. Amen. He lied about it. But God, Abel's blood was crying out to God. And thank God that even though Abel's blood demanded judgment, Jesus' blood declares redemption. It cries for mercy. I want you to think of something. Every time the Father looks at us, every time the Father looks at you, child of God, every time God looks at you, He sees you through that blood. He sees you washed clean by that blood. That's a wonderful truth and a wonderful reality to live with. It's not just, listen, he doesn't, now I've heard people, you know, and you can take all these things and run in the ditch. How many of you know you're not supposed to drive in the ditch? I tell students that all the time, especially, you know, here coming up here in a few weeks, the first year group we teach understanding grace. And grace is a powerful subject, thank God. How many of you know we're saved by grace? Amen. Thank God for grace. Thank God, because of God's grace, we have these things. But yet, you can take something and run it in the ditch. How many know you can run faith in the ditch? You can turn faith into works really quick. I know, you know, I don't hear it so much anymore, but thank God, I think we've got a little bit of maturity. But yet, there was something exciting about those, you know, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, I've been at this now. I'm in my 47th year of being part of whatever this word of faith, whatever we are, you know, but learning and studying about faith and trying and endeavoring to live by faith. You know, there were some wild things back in the day. I mean, just wild things. People thought you could confess anything and it'd have to happen. How many of you know you just can't make stuff up? But then, you know, the criticism, well, you just can't confess something. God has to give it to you. Well, duh. But what has God given us? See, ignorance doesn't work either. How many of you know the devil loves ignorant Christians? Yeah. The Bible says we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know what belongs to you. Amen. But, you know, but people talking about, you know, well, I confessed it, and they would tell how many times they confessed it. And on the, you know, I heard one guy talking about, you know, he confessed his healing on the 1,000th time that he said it, the power of God hit him and he was healed. So now people, oh, I've got a new doctor now. I've got to say it 1,000 times. Well, how many of you know that's works? That's works. Faith doesn't say it to get it. Faith says it because it already has it. I like that. I'm going to say that again. Faith doesn't say it to get it. Faith says it because it already has it. Amen. I say I'm healed because the Bible says, by His stripes, I am healed. I didn't ask myself how I felt. Amen. And was it Wigglesworth said, I never asked Smith Wigglesworth how he feels? Amen. If you don't know who Smith Wigglesworth is, find out. Read some of his stuff. It'll challenge you. It'll challenge you. Glory to God. But Abel's blood, the blood of Jesus speaks of better things. It speaks of victory. It speaks of overcoming. It speaks of full redemption. And it speaks of the finished work of Christ. You know, sometimes in thinking of the communion table and that cup that Jesus shared with his disciples, and if we think of that cup representing the blood shed, you know, for forgiveness of our sins, in what Jesus did through his death and burial his sacrifice for us, becoming the propitiation, the payment that appeased the wrath of sin for us, and then God raising from the dead. In all that he did not leave one drop in that cup that needs to be drunk. He drank it all. He totally fulfilled it all. That cup that had to be totally drank. You know, Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. There's something there. There's a truth about it. But no, Jesus had already, before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, that this plan of redemption was already in place. And the will of God. You know, sometimes I think if we're not careful, we get caught up in what the Roman soldiers did and what the priests and the Sadducees, Pharisees and the scribes and all that. They came against Jesus and did all that. But how many of you know they couldn't have done any of that if it hadn't been God's plan? And Jesus said this, he said, I laid down my life. And then he also said there in John 10, I'm going to take it up again. I think the disciples, and folks kind of forgot that a little bit. But he said, I'm going to take it up again. He says, why? The Father has given it to me. See, that was all part of the plan. All part of the plan. The devil didn't crucify Jesus. God sent him to the cross for us. What crucified Jesus? Love. His love for you and I. Amen. And really, a couple Sundays ago, I talked about that. It's been longer than that. When a preacher says a couple, it could have been a long time ago. Amen. How many of you are old enough now when you say a couple years, you're within 20 years ago to now? Right? Well, a couple years ago. It could have been 20 years ago. Amen. Glory to God. Time flies when we're having fun, right? Hallelujah. Well, the blood speaks better things. And this brings us to our next point. And it has to do with speaking. The blood overcomes the enemy. Let's go to Revelation 12. I want you to go back there and let's look at that. When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Pentecostal Bible way came to, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, especially then 1906 there in Azusa Street out in the Los Angeles area, and a great revival happened, and that outpouring, one of the things that came out of that was a renewed reverence for and thankfulness for the blood of Jesus. And, those old-time Pentecostals, they'd tell the devil, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You read after him. They'd plead the blood. Now, I know some folks, they don't like that, plead the blood, but, you can plead the blood in the name of Jesus. What are you saying when I plead the blood? I'm saying it's been handled by the blood. It's been handled by the blood. The blood has already been paid, or the price has been paid. Here it says concerning, overcoming our accuser, that salvation, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Anytime you see anything concerning overcoming, you're dealing with this area of authority. Now, we overcome because why? Jesus has already overcome. Now, realize this. On my own, I cannot defeat the devil. No. He's got weaponry I don't have, naturally speaking, just in me. But thank God I'm not fighting him in me. How many of you know we fight him with the armor of God and the weaponry of God? And Jesus, was it Brother Keith Moore there at camp meeting, said the devil can't find his keys because Jesus took them. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and notice this, by the word of their testimony. Now I want you to notice here that the blood was shed, then we testify to what the blood has done. Now, think about this concerning the blood of Jesus. Again, with John 3:16, God so loved the world. That's the whole world, right? The Bible says other places, when we were his enemies, he died for us. All of us. So for every person who has ever breathed the breath on this earth and is breathing now, the blood of Jesus was shed for them. Right? But then you realize this, it will have no effect in their life unless they say something. Now think about what the Bible says, a couple things concerning salvation. One place, this is prophesied by Joel, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, of course, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 9 and 10. Then drop down to verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But notice here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See, the blood has been shed. So overcoming, I want you to think about this, it belongs to everybody who's ever, as Pastor Denise would say, has peopled on this earth. People be peopling, right? If you've ever been a person on this earth, the blood shed for you. But in order to receive the overcoming, you've got to say something. You've got to testify. There again, grace provided the blood. Faith receives what grace has done. Amen. Now, he didn't stop there. Notice this also. And really, our testimony, if you want to think of it this way before I get to that, our testimony is about what the blood has already accomplished. Now, when we testify, we're not creating our victory. We're just testifying of it. The victory has already been provided through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so then he says this, and they love not their lives unto the death. See, there's a three-part aspect there. It's overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, testifying concerning that, and then also going all in for the one who went all in for you. Loving not your life even unto the death. What's that saying? That's talking about laying down your life, right? That's talking about, you hear people talk about, take up your cross and follow him. That's talking about, I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'm all in. All in. In other words, I'm in this. I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking even for an easy way out. I'm going to do whatever you've called me to do because my life here on earth, I'm purchased. I'm purchased. Amen? We're purchased people. We need to learn how to live a purchased life. Purchase means I don't belong to myself anymore. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, the Bible says, in your spirit and in your body, which are his. I don't belong to myself anymore. And I know that's sobering sometimes because, you know, we think, and you hear people talk about it. And I know we're all there, but, and society wants you to, you know, this culture that's of the devil, really, that operates in the world, the world system is, you know, you've got to have your dreams and you've got to have your things. Well, listen, I don't care. It doesn't matter what my dreams are. What is God's plan? I don't belong to myself. Amen? You know, growing up, my dream was to be either a professional baseball player or a professional basketball player. Well, too short. Well, I could play. I mean, I played in college. Amen. And I really kind of lost interest in baseball after a while. I mean, I was recruited out of high school by Division I schools to play, and I just, you know, I still, you know, my plan was to be a basketball player and then be a basketball coach. And so I got to coach 8-year-olds here at Rhema. Coached my son, coached a couple of pastor's grandsons, Pastor Bill's son, amen? You know, coached a lot of folks. It's a lot different than what I had in mind. I mean, listen, I was student teaching and one elective away from having a degree in education when I came to Rhema. But God. By that time, I got saved between my freshman and sophomore year in college, and, you know, just I lost interest. I lost interest in what was used to be my God was a leather sphere with that you inflated between 7 and 9 pounds of pressure. That was my God. I mean, I grew up in Illinois. In central Illinois, I'd go out in the winter and scoop the snow off the driveway just to shoot baskets. You got some people, I won't even get in there, you know, they can't get out of bed to come to church. But that's a whole nother story. But by that time, God said, you know. And you know what? I've never regretted it. Never had one regret that I didn't do that. Never. Never. I think about going all in and not loving my life, and I think about all the things that I've gotten to do and all the places I've gotten to go and all the people I've gotten to meet because of just making that one decision. You know, how many of you know the decision you make today will impact? I mean, that was 1982. That summer, I drove over to college. I met with the basketball coach. Told him, I'm not coming back. I'm headed to Bible school. God's called me to be a minister. This man was a Christian man. He understood who God was. You know what I'm saying? And he was born again, but he wasn't. You know what I'm saying? He said, "Well, if that's what you feel like you're supposed to do, you better do it." And so I got in the dorm, packed up all my stuff that I'd left there over the summer, and came on out here. That decision, I think about just what that one decision did. I think about Bud and Jan Wright, who graduated from Raymond in 1983. They were second-year students when I was a first-year student, who left. Bud left his trucking. He was a truck driver there in Cullman, Alabama, and left that, came to Rhema, and God laid Brazil on their hearts. They didn't speak any Portuguese. In fact, they didn't really know anybody. They moved to Brazil, didn't know anybody that fall of 83 after they graduated, and what has happened there, you know. Brazil, we talk about Brazil, they've had 60,000 graduates go through Rhema's there. All over, they've affected that nation. In fact, the news reports out of Brazil there's been several reports written about how that the spirit-filled, word-of-faith Christians have impacted the nation and how they're the best workers, they're the best people, the best employees. They've made an impact on the nation. It's recognized. Amen. This message. But I think about that. You know, that one decision. What decision? Well, I didn't plan on going this way, but this is what we're going to do. What decision is facing you right now? What decision is facing you right now? See, when you're getting ready to make a decision, you go back and look at the decisions and how God's led you in the past. Remember what he told Joshua? He said, you know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua knew everything God did with Moses. He was his right man. He held on to the mountain, the base of the mountain, when Moses came down. Moses had to kind of come with him. You know, he was Moses' minister. Think back. The same God who led you then is leading you now. Some of you are facing decisions right now, that you don't realize. Now, not every decision. I'm not talking about where should we go after where should we go eat tonight after church or anything. I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm talking about that decision. You know what it is. And I just as here, I'm sensing you know what God's told you about it. If you're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, you're going to have to not love your life unto the death. In other words, you have to give up your plans, your dreams, to do what God said. And I'm telling you, when you do that, the result is so much better than anything. How many of you know the Bible says he can do what? Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. His plan is the exceeding abundant plan. But that happens as we learn how to love not our lives unto death because of the blood of Jesus. What does that blood still do today? Because of the blood, we are forgiven. We are justified. We are redeemed. We are reconciled. We have peace with God. We have access into God's presence. We overcome the enemy. We belong to a new family. We have eternal hope. The blood has never and will never lose its power. Amen? Now, one thing great, you know, if you make a decision and you find out it's the wrong decision, just go back to God. The blood still speaks. The blood still speaks. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about that. I just had this thought. I hadn't really thought about it. If the blood speaks, I need to be able to recognize its voice. How do I do that? Well, we're going to have to know what the Bible says about the blood and what it does. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't just take the blood of Jesus as something, you know, that is a church thing. The blood of Jesus is powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. If our prayer team will go ahead and come on down. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God for the blood tonight. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for that blood that speaks of our redemption, that speaks of our victory, that speaks, Father God. Hallelujah. As we make much of the blood, Father God, we thank you that it'll make much of us. We glorify and honor Jesus for shedding his blood. Thank you, Father, for this great plan of redemption. We give you praise and honor tonight, Lord God, for that blood that gives us an eternal home, that blood that gives us an eternal redemption, an eternal relationship with you. Thank you for the blood. We glorify you and honor you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Now listen, if you need to make that decision, I just encourage you, give it the time, give it the prayer that it needs, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's leading you to do it. You'll recognize his voice. It'll agree with what the Word of God already says. Hallelujah. And you'll be so happy that you did. Father, we just thank you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, come on down, ladies to the ladies, men to the men, and they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where our answers are found anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't forget tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Kathy Cadman's memorial service here in the chapel. And then we'll see you Sunday morning, School of the Bible at 9, church at 10. God bless you. Love on somebody before you leave tonight. Amen.